It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Last year, the Universities of Wisconsin Board of Regents fired Joe Gao from his position as chancellor of UW-La Crosse after it came to light that Gao had been making sex videos with his wife and others and sharing them online.
Gao was quickly removed as chancellor, but he's still employed by the university as a professor in their communication studies department.
That may change after a disciplinary hearing held earlier this week where faculty convened to hear arguments about whether Gao should lose his tenured professor position.
The university has charged Gao with 21 violations of university policy, in part related to the videos and harm to the university's reputation, but also charges of insubordination and refusing to cooperate with an investigation.
Both the university and Professor Gao presented their cases before the faculty panel earlier this week.
Hallie Lieberman is a sex historian and journalist. She has a PhD from UW-Madison and wrote about the UW-La Crosse controversy for Business Insider. Hallie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
You interviewed Professor Joe Gao. You've been following these hearings this week. Hallie, what has stood out for you in this set of hearings that's getting a lot more attention than your average faculty meeting?
It is. It's much, much more interesting than the average faculty meeting. But what has stood out to me is that the case does not seem very strong. They really are focusing on him being, as you mentioned, insubordinate, and which is like kind of a meta, you know, way of looking at it. They can't really fire him for making porn videos. So they're trying to get around by saying he's insubordinate.
When this broke last year, it attracted national, even some international attention. Why do you think this story went so viral on the internet? News outlets, including ours, I guess I have to say. Is this just a sex sells situation or is something else going on here?
Well, first off, sex is going to bring attention, and a chancellor having sex in like porn videos, that's, you know, clickbait, media gold. But there's a bigger thing, like that's just like the, you know, Trojan horse that gets you to the bigger issue here, which is about tenure and higher ed, which I think is making people like stay interested in the story. Tenure protections are weakening across the country, and firing a professor for what they do in their free time, which is what they're trying to do here, not for anything they're doing in the classroom, is kind of a scary thing to a lot of people. There are other people who would say, yes, let's fire professors for unpopular opinions, but tenure is supposed to protect professors from being fired for, you know, for they have to have just cause. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and so I think that's what makes this a bigger story. But yes, the sex sells, of course.
The university, I think, is arguing that there is reputational damage from then-Chancellor, now Professor Gao's participation in this online pornography. That was why he was removed as chancellor. The idea that, hey, this is the leading face of the university. This hurts the reputation to have him there. Could the same argument be made for him remaining as a professor?
Well, they're trying to make that argument. And I mean, it makes sense if you're chancellor. You are the public face of the university, so remove you if you're doing like porn videos. And he understands that when I interviewed him. But like reputational damage as a, you know, professor, that's a different thing. I mean, lots of professors study and write about unpopular things. And, you know, if you can argue that what they do, it causes reputational damage, you could fire a lot of professors. But yeah, so I don't know. I don't see it as a strong argument. I see it as like a very dangerous argument if that, you know, people's activities outside of the classroom, because that's what we're talking about here. Like we're talking about things he did on his own time. And that is kind of scary to me.
Here's UW System Attorney Wade Harrison speaking this week in his concluding statements.
Dr. Gao is free to make and publish adult content and engage in other activities, but the university can reasonably conclude that doing so is at odds with the university's public purpose and best interests. The university believes that if Dr. Gao remains, he will continue to distract from the university's mission. His presence will be disruptive to the communication studies department and will undermine public trust in the university.
All right, we talked a little bit about that public trust concept and the reputation, that idea that it would be a disruption now to have Gao still teaching classes, to be part of teaching and the university community. It was brought up, hey, if students are asking him in class about his porn activities, and he said, yes, I would answer those questions. Is there a case to be made here that, well, that doesn't make for a very effective classroom?
I would actually make the opposite case, because I have been, I've taught on University of Wisconsin campuses, and I've been a student, and I would argue that it would make for much more interesting classroom. And but beyond my personal experience, I was on campus reporting for the story at UW La Crosse, and I asked a ton of students, probably a dozen students, what do you think? And most of them said, some of them said, hey, I want to take a class with Gao. I hope he's teaching. Some of them said, hey, I don't care either way. Like, my friends are on OnlyFans. It's like not a big deal. And there was I think one person who was like, yeah, I want to take a class with him, but I don't care if he's on campus. So I think there's a disconnect between students who are like perpetually online and kind of understand like internet culture and see their friends as, you know, see the world of sex work in this, you know, way through OnlyFans versus legislators and lawyers who are envisioning, you know, I think like a pre-OnlyFans sex work world.
We're talking about former UW La Crosse Chancellor Joe Gao's disciplinary hearings earlier this week. Sex historian and journalist Hallie Lieberman is with us. We invited Gao to appear on the show. Hallie, he said, in effect, sometime he wanted to wait for the results of all this to come out before he does that. You were able to sit down with Gao and his wife, Carmen Wilson. How were they talking about these, at this point, upcoming disciplinary hearings and the whole situation?
Well, they're really upset. I mean, you know, they think that the hearing, you know, they're worried about this, and they're upset about tenure protections, because his wife was a professor as well. And so, you know, I think they're anxious to see what happens. He wants to get back in the classroom. He wants to teach. And I hope he will be able to teach. I mean, I think what's really upsetting to them too is this, these are like former colleagues who are just basically, you know, attacking his scholarship, which is what happened at the hearing on the first day, where they had said, oh, he's not, it was Linda Dickmeyer who said like, oh, he's not really a media studies scholar and he won't be good in the classroom and all this stuff. And so I think that's like really hard to hear when you've been at the university for like 17 years.
One other concern raised by the university here is admissions in books written by Gao and Carmen Wilson under pseudonyms, where they talked about activities where someone was paid to participate in sexual activity with them, which whatever you feel about sex work is against the law. That was raised like, hey, we have got this professor admitting illegal activity in effect in the book. Is that a little different than, you know, if just the two of them had been doing these videos?
Well, the videos weren't illegal. Like, it's like pornography is covered by the First Amendment. So that aspect of it, like hiring a sex worker to be in the video and making porn with the studio, was not illegal. But what the university was saying in their self-published books, Joe and Carmen's, that they were hiring sex workers just for sexual activity, like that wasn't filmed, and which is illegal, except for in four counties in Nevada, one of the counties where they did hire them, but they hired them in Wisconsin as well. But so that's a little different. But what worries me as like a scholar is if we can fire people for what they write in their books, and if they admit to violating the law, which a lot of people do. I mean, they, you know, drink and drive in Wisconsin, and other professors have been, you know, people have been arrested for DUIs and stuff like that. If we just, and I'm not sure that they always lose their job, nor should they, but necessarily, but if we fire people for just writings about things they do that are illegal in our society, that sets a dangerous precedent in my view. So that concerns me. But yeah, I mean, it's, you're right. They did break the law, but a lot of professors have broken the law.
In just our last minute, as you watch the media conversation about all this, what does it say about what we think about sex and porn in our society these days?
Yeah, I mean, that's the most fascinating part to me, because we're so split and so divided on, and I think in a generational way, like, I think, like, there are a lot of people who just see the word porn, they see that they were involved in porn, and they envision, like, the worst, that, like, everyone, that the industry is exploiting everyone on set, that there's, you know, they don't know, like, how much testing goes into being on set, how much consent, all this stuff. And then you have other people, usually younger people, who kind of understand the industry a little bit more and are like, so what? They were in these videos. Did it hurt anyone? No. Did everyone get consent? Yes. Okay. Well, we're not worried about it. Let's move on. Like, so what? So you see this big divide between these things. And I think a lot of the misunderstanding is just people aren't educated about ethics in the porn industry.
Hallie, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's journalist and sex historian Hallie Lieberman talking about Professor Joe Gal's disciplinary hearing at UW-La Crosse, what it could mean for the future of academic freedom in Wisconsin.
Now, WPR's One Day Member Drive is coming up next week. That is right, just one day, but we still need to raise the same amount of money as a regular drive.
To help us be on the right track to fund the programs that you rely on, we've got this goal of hearing from 500 donors before this one day drive, before next Thursday. When we reach that goal, then a generous group of current members will give an additional $10,000 for WPR programs.
So join in now. Help us meet this goal. Go to WPR.org/donate. That's WPR.org/donate. And thank you so much.